This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last time, Chris installed Server 2019 and I upgraded 2012 R2 to 2016. This week, Chris cleaned up his Active Directory and installed the Google Cloud Directory Sync for account creation automation. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show.
So how have you been this week, man?
Well, I'll be completely honest with you. I think I may be getting a little burnout. I don't know why. I've lost a lot of interest in technology related things. Like, I've quit listening to other technology podcasts. I quit following a bunch of technology people on Twitter, mainly because I just want to interest myself when I'm not at home, or not at work, rather, with things other than technology, I guess.
No, I totally understand that. I mean, I have a biannual burnout period that I go through, and it's generally the beginning of school and the end of school.
Yeah, beginning of school, I can understand, because, like, you're coming off of summer, and that's a really, really busy time, and which I'm kind of not looking forward to this summer. Really not looking forward to anything past Thanksgiving, to be honest with you, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, my goal is to have myself automated out of a job by Christmas, so I'm looking forward to that time.
You know, I know we did a show where I basically just talked about my TVs where I automated them, but I really do like that. I really do like automating as much as I can, and we're going to talk some of what you actually got automated this week. But it's just really convenient, and not even just, we say jokingly that we're going to automate ourselves out of a job, but it's automating those tasks that we have to do that time would be better spent doing something else, you know?
Yep. Any repetitive task should be automated.
And so, and because of that, I've been digging a lot into like Siri shortcuts and like trying to do like IFTTTs on some more things and looking into some of those programs that do like keyboard shortcuts for like Keyboard Maestro or Text Expander and things like that, just to kind of see like what are some things that maybe I can do to save just a little bit of time on some of those things.
Yeah. I mean, it all adds up. I mean, especially when you're the sole person doing a lot of things, any time saved is awesome.
I mean, I was even looking at, we had that conversation about like why I don't use Gmail on the web, and digging into it, I'm kind of wanting to, because I saw that, I mean, I knew that they were doing like the automatic replies, and my supervisor has been using them and she loves them. And so I'm thinking, mm-hmm. You know, and like you were showing me canned responses, because I told you the only reason I wasn't using it was because I want different signatures for different things. And you told me to do canned responses to kind of solve that problem. And so I was kind of looking into it. But even then I was like, this is kind of handy. Even if I didn't get it to work like I wanted it to, and just, you know, just don't use an email signature and just call it a day. But the fact that like it auto suggests replies and things like that, just those little things that kind of make things a little bit easier, I think, or
yeah,
what I'm looking
and
to
and
do.
What's really neat though is those automatic replies are machine based learning, so they learn your responses. So there's some weird things that I respond back to emails like, "Yep, I'll get it done." Those kind of things. They come up in auto response now for me. So when someone comes in asking a question, that's one of my auto responses is, yep, I'll get it done.
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome. I mean, just for it to learn that kind of stuff. But,
and you know, they're actually looking at doing automatic replies for you.
Do you know, I saw
like,
that.
Where you don't even do the interaction piece.
And didn't even at their like Pixel event, they kind of showed off like Google Assistant, like screening phone calls for you and things like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that they're doing right now.
I mean, it's scary in a way, but, and I know we did a show about all that, even like that fake Google call that it wasn't fake, but
which was really cool.
Yeah, that where we thought like Skynet was coming down, but it's like, I just think it's like having something like that would be handy. It's like, because all people want is they just want a response. It's like even if your response is, I'll look into this, all they want to know is that they were heard and that
hey,
you got
my
their
message
email
was received.
Yeah, and so that's why people use those read receipts on, like, messages and stuff, which I completely turn off because I don't want people knowing that
stuff. If
anyone
ever is sending me an email with a read receipt, you're not going to get one because I default to never send them.
Yeah, and so, like, having something, and, you know, but it's like if we let the secret out of the bag and some, like you said, inside baseball going on, If they know that it's just like automated responses, maybe they wouldn't feel as
wouldn't have the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah, they would. Like,
did he actually say, "Yep, I'll get it done," or is that just something that happened and he didn't even know the email came?
Yeah, but I know there has been some like controversial things with the suggested replies and I guess people sending like accidental things or something. It's like, but well, it's learning
you
from
don't
you.
Have to use, you don't have to use them. I mean, you have to. You have to either hit tab to do the auto completion on the replies, or you have to select the auto reply. I mean, it just doesn't do it right now.
And I think they even built in a way to actually turn it off too, so they don't even suggest it to you anymore.
But I do love the auto completion because I'll start typing a sentence and it'll finish the sentence for me. I can just hit tab.
I mean, that is kind of great. Maybe I should start using Gmail.
You should try
on the web.
You should do a week of Gmail on the web.
I probably should. I should.
I've been doing a week of Microsoft only on my Android, so.
So do you do, well, you got an Android phone, so I guess you do use Gmail. I guess would it be best to kind of like, if you would, I wonder if you get those features in like the Gmail iOS app.
You get them in the Gmail Android app.
So maybe they're there. Maybe they'll come in. I don't know.
I have not got them this week because I've been using the Outlook app.
I tell you the the one thing that was keeping me definitely from using the Gmail iOS app, they did fix because you couldn't turn off conversation view in the Gmail iOS app, and conversation view is great for some people, but when you when you work with people that don't know how to put subjects in, it's a nightmare.
See, that's the worst. People that don't, that's just completely blows conversation view out of the water. No subjects.
Yeah. And so I just don't want to use it for that reason, just because it's just no guarantees it's going to thread right. And you would think it would be a little bit more smarter about that, you know?
And like, maybe it is. Maybe it's getting there. Maybe they'll apply some of these machine learning algorithms to it, and it will get better. But yeah, I do like conversation view just because it keeps me from having to go look for the other emails.
But, you know, maybe they could do something when it gets the message to, like, tag the message, you know? Like, give it, like...
Like a label.
Yeah. Or give it, like, some kind of attribute in the back end. Whatever they're doing to present the mail to us, you know? What are those things called? Like...
Tags?
Yeah, well, it's that, and it's like when you add something to an RSS feed to make it, like, iTunes to see, like, a new URL or something.
Oh, metadata?
Yeah, like a metadata tag. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe they could do something to that and basically assign like some kind of ID and maybe start using that to track emails instead of like subjects.
I got a better idea.
Get rid of email?
That's one too. Don't let them send an email without a subject.
Oh, that would be a great policy.
If there is an extension for that, I will deploy it to the enterprise.
Not even just an extension, but just a setting in the Gmail settings in our Google
yes,
console.
I will gladly apply that.
Require signature. That is, require
you know
subject.
Yep, we need to send that up. I need to push that one up the chain. Feature request.
Require a subject. That would just be amazing. But yeah, so, I mean, it's just little things like that. I wish that... And I've been, like, trying... As I do things, I'm thinking, is there a way I can automate this? Because just to save a little bit of time, and it's no, I told my wife and she won't let me do it, but it's like, I want to buy like 5 of the same pair of pants, 5 of the same shirt, same color, everything, just so I don't have to decide what I'm going
to
wear.
You want to know something funny?
Your wife dresses you?
No, no. My wife, I iron my own clothes and I iron her clothes every morning. So, but, I do that. I have 5 pair of Magellan pants that I wear. And every year I go buy 5 new shirts of the same style of different colors. And that's what I do every week. I wear the same 5 pants and the same 5 shirts.
Well, that wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't even take it as to taking out the whole, what color am I going to wear today decision.
See, I don't even make that decision. It's whichever one is hanging in the front. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
There you go. So, I mean, and I'm pretty much there. I mean, I have 4 or 5 pairs of blue jeans. And like you said, I buy the same shirt, but it's like I want a uniform. I want the same color.
I do too.
I want everything plain.
And that's essentially what I do to myself. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I do wear the boots that I'm wearing 7 days a week. So I mean, that's really not a decision. I mean, that's just kind of what I'm just going to wear these boots. They're comfortable.
Now I will randomly decide to wear different pairs of shoes.
I have this pair of boots. I have a pair of tennis shoes, and I have a pair of flip flops. That's it.
Yeah. I have like some Converse, some Vans, some boots, and some Skechers tennis shoes. And so depending on,
I don't even know what kind of tennis shoes I have.
I just
know they're orange.
Part of my decision is like, what's the weather like? If the weather's going to be bad, I'll wear the boots. If I know I'm going to be like doing a lot of moving things around, things like that, I'll wear the tennis shoes because they're better for my feet. Any other times I'm wearing the Vans or the Converse that have like no sole in them. So they're like standing on the ground.
Yeah. Well, the only difference I did today is I untucked my shirt because I was moving a lot of stuff today.
Yeah, it seems
but
like
I did
it.
Get everything cleaned out.
Well, that's good because I know you...
I even vacuumed.
You moved into a mess. I'm not going to lie. You moved into kind of a mess, but it's good that you got it cleaned up. Now yep, you just got to get the garbage pile out of the hallway and into the actual garbage can.
I may get my truck back on Friday.
Well, that's good.
So Monday I could haul the trash out.
You can't just like go get a truck from maintenance?
They don't have any.
Oh. Not a van? Not anything?
Well, I mean, there's no need for it. It's all here.
Oh, well. I mean, we're all here, but
you're not in one building.
Oh, that's right. You're all in one building.
Now, granted, there are disconnected buildings, but it's essentially one building.
Yeah. Well, I kind of understand that now.
They have a gator, but this would be like 80 loads in a gator.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought about bringing a lowboy up here. That's how much I got.
Just haul a trailer.
I did find, while I was cleaning up, a Getting Started with Windows 95 disk.
I'm pretty sure I have that same... Actually, I might do you one better. I think I might have like a Windows 2000.
I said Windows 95.
Oh, wait. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you beat me. Yeah.
95.
Yeah, I can't count. And
I did see some special embroidered CD cases with JJ on them.
Oh.
You know who that is.
I think I know who that is.
She was here before Trey.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. And I found some pictures of her kids.
Oh.
And all sorts of driver's ed VHS tapes.
So now you can teach driver's ed on the side, earn a little cash.
They are all in the big black bags outside my office right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, this week actually for me has been one of those kind of waterfall weeks. I hit a point where things are starting to flow now.
Well, that's good.
I know, and I really needed it to happen because I've been really bummed out about the move. And, yeah, I just needed it to happen. So one of the things that I did today, I don't know, are we ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's go. Let's talk about what you did this week.
So I had an Active Directory environment that was a mess. you can understand this, Matt. So I had user accounts where the only thing that they had in them was the pre-2K logon name.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
That was it.
We have some of those that I've slowly been fixing myself.
Yeah. So with the students, it wasn't too bad because what they did for all the names, for the login names for the student was last name underscore first name. So I could script that. And I did script a lot of it and filled it all in and put in email addresses. I had to go fix a lot of them because... Some of their Google accounts were created with names they go by versus their first names. So,
yeah.
I was like, who in the world is this? They're nowhere. Oh, yeah, that's what we call them.
Oh, Peaches?
Well, I don't know that.
You call them Peaches?
I mean, it's like, oh, come on. So, yeah, I did have about 20 students that got suspended when I enabled the automatic features because their names weren't what their names were.
Yeah.
But that's okay. So I went through and it took me a little over 2 days to get the directory cleaned up and fixed. And we're a small school. So I can't imagine larger places when the directory's in shambles like that.
Oh, man. Was it like all the users in one OU at the same time, too?
Yeah. There was a lot of that, too.
Oh, that's always good fun.
Yeah, it was a lot. There was a lot of PowerShell, a lot of manual users and computers where I was going in through and actually inputting information manually because the teacher accounts didn't follow any kind of convention. Some were first name, last name. Some were first name, first letter, last name. Some were last name, number. I mean, it was just... I mean, it's just there wasn't any kind of real convention, so I was.
And you know, we talked about where that came from. That was back
whenever. We both know exactly where that came from.
We were at the service center, and we decided to host email all under one domain.
While quick to stand up, it might have been. No, it was the wrong way to do it. Yeah. Not might have been. No, it was the wrong way to do it, because they actually had a completely hosted platform where you could do that correctly in Exchange 2007. So, shame on us.
Yeah, but we learn. And
I'm still paying for it.
We just move everybody to Google and call it a day.
Yep. So, I do have all that stuff accounted in there, and I am doing the Google Directory Cloud Sync. And, yeah, it was fun. So, you know those wonderful LDAP filters that you have to create in there?
Yeah.
I have one that I think is about 16 miles long. but it's a good one. So, I mean, if somebody wants it, I'll gladly share it with them. And it basically searches for the user account. This one, it looks for a user who has a mail attribute, who is active, who is a member of one of two groups, either staff or students.
Yeah.
And then that's the only way that they come up in the query. Yeah, so I've been going through it and cleaning up the directory. I've got it syncing users, groups, and I, like I said, I did something different this time than I normally do. I'm not syncing OUs, which is not usually what I recommend to people. So what I did is I told it to do not create or delete Google organizational units, but just move things between them.
Yeah.
And I created some static assignments so I can... What I did is, like, in our directory, for Active Directory, of course, I have things broken up: elementary, junior high, high school, and then there's students, teachers, machines, those kind of things.
Yes.
So I'm taking the students OU from Active Directory and dumping it into a single OU up in Google called students, so it automatically creates the class of thing there.
Yeah.
So I only have, my Google infrastructure only has three top-level OUs, which is pretty cool. Let me log in real quick. Do it live.
Yeah.
That is my password.
Apparently it's not.
Not the first time, ever.
Yeah.
But, so my OU structure is super simplified up in Google, and I'm thinking I might actually like this, even though it's not something I usually recommend. So on top level, I have Chrome devices, staff, and students. That's it.
Yeah, we have ours broken down by, like, I have a group called Other, which is like some accounts that that I've made to do certain things. I have one called like Services, which are like email accounts that I've made to do like other different things. Mm-hmm. And then we have like Administration, and that's where we put all the admin staff. No.
Well, I do have,
no, we have staff.
OUs underneath the staff and stuff.
Yeah,
as far as my top level.
Yeah, we have staff, students, staff and students. And then under each staff and students, there's like campus. And then under students, we have like the Chromebook carts, and then the class of groups for the students to go into. So it's just kind of weird because, like, you know, we've had that conversation where we'd like Google policies to be able to do like group policies where you can put them in loop.
You can do machine or user.
Yeah, where you can loop back them and apply this machine policy to whatever user logs in, or apply this user policy to this machine or something using the loopback. And it's just for different things. And so, I don't know. It's just...
And I got you something better than loopback now.
Oh, really?
You'll like it. It's called targeted assignments.
Oh, that's fancy.
It's really cool.
Is it just server 2019?
No. You have it.
Oh.
I never knew it was there.
Apparently, neither do I. But
I know. It ended up being really cool.
Because
it ends up doing the same kind of thing as loopbacks, but you can target more explicit things than just loopback.
Yeah, because the way you deploy printers with user policies and group policy, but I want no matter who logs into this computer lab to get that printer, and so you have to create it as a loopback policy and apply it to the computer OU, and so it works phenomenally. So I might have to look into that targeted mode. But let me a question about this Google Directory Sync.
Uh-huh.
You were kind of in the same situation that I'm in, where and we're rectifying it. Anybody that gets added new gets their usernames match. But long story short, the usernames in Google do not match the usernames in Active Directory.
Correct.
But if I remember right, you've told me this before, it doesn't actually use that to sync anything. It goes based on the email address that you have inside the account. And
correct.
So, like, if I wanted to turn on directory sync, I wouldn't have to go clean up usernames or anything, unless I absolutely just wanted to. But I would just have to make sure that every user has an email address put inside their account for them to sync to the Google directory.
Yep, and that's all you have to do. Now, you can do some more niceties, like you can tell it on the user account's part to grab additional information like the first name, last name, and you can set like
There's some like students and even staff in mind that don't even have that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you might want to go ahead and do first, just because it does make things cleaner, because you don't want it to have the ability to maybe accidentally pull that information out.
Yeah, and just start renaming people's accounts.
Yeah, but one of the things that I did not realize that it would do until this round is there's an option in there. Now, with the Google Directory Sync, you cannot sync passwords with Active Directory. Active Directory stores them encrypted. Google Directory Sync can't see them. That's fine. But it does have a new feature now where you can create a default password for new users and do not force it to change the password on the first login. So you could actually have a password work automatically when the account's created now.
Well, that's good.
That was one of the annoyances that I had on the old version when it was called, what was it called before? It wasn't Cloud Directory Sync. It was, something else.
It was something similar to that, though.
Yeah, but it was a little longer.
But you know...
Yeah, this is one of the... It has gotten better.
I think the reason why a lot of our Active Directories are in the state that they're in, with things missing and like just having the NetBIOS and not the...
Besides the same people setting them up?
Well, besides that, you remember the old SolarWinds tool? The old SolarWinds importer?
Oh, dear Lord.
I think that's what a lot of... I know I've used it in the past, and I know we've used it here even before I came over here. And so I'm thinking that's probably where a lot of our problems stem from, because everybody was so scared of command, except for Koontz, because apparently Koontz has been doing it for years.
LDFT.
Yeah. And so everybody wanted a GUI, and at the time that was the best way to go. So maybe that's probably where a lot of our problems stem from, is from that tool, which I don't even think works anymore. I think it's still available, but I don't think it works that well anymore.
Yeah, you shouldn't use it anyway.
Yeah, I just use it all through PowerShell now.
Yeah, PowerShell is great. But last thing I'll talk about on the Directory Cloud Sync, it has a really good side effect. You can sync groups into email groups.
That is handy, because I just did all those for our fax lines.
The email group creation thing in G Suite sucks.
It's terrible. I mean,
I don't want a message board. I just want a freaking email list sometimes.
Yeah, and so it's like... Now, making the group is not hard. Putting the members in the group is not that difficult. But no. It's setting the permissions as far as, like, who can email it, who can't email it, who can add people to it. Because like you said, it's a bulletin board system. You have to think about all those things whenever you make a group. Like, I made some groups for these fax machines. Well, I had to go set it where public can actually send to this thing. And so that kind of scares you, because it's like, okay, am I opening up this message board to the public now? And so now we just kind of got to go by security by obscurity, that hopes that nobody finds this thing. But
well, one of the really, like with everything else in the Cloud Sync tool, you can set filter strings up for your group stuff. So I just have it in here. If there's a security group that has a mailing address assigned to it, push it up there.
That's fancy. Now, the only thing that I wish that sticking with Google Groups or whatever, I wish you can make those not show up in the directory like you can do user accounts.
That would be awesome.
I mean, because I don't want these fax addresses to show up in the directory, because they don't need to.
Yeah, it's kind of like those email address groups that are like all staff.
Yeah.
You don't want everybody to be able to send out to all staff. Yeah. Can you imagine what would happen?
Yeah, and it's like, I've been trying to train my people. Look, this is how you send out a mass email. You put yourself in two, and you put the group that you're sending to in BCC.
Yes.
So it looks like that it went to yourself and that person, and that's it.
Yes. And then before you hit send... You read it again.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times it's come back to bite me. Just ask port author.
Oh, goodness. That's funny. Yeah, so...
But that's good. So you automated something. Yeah,
it is automated. And the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to pester our service center, because I want this report automatic. I don't want to have to run attendance report every day. I would like an automatic attendance report dropped into somewhere that I can grab it. That way I can... automatically create new users that get added into attendance into Active Directory as well.
That would be helpful.
I mean, how often do you not get told about a student?
Dude, I don't ever get told. I just
exactly.
Students randomly show up in our Active Directory. I handle the bulk imports that we do every summer, like when we the first couple weeks of school or whatever, I'll handle all those imports. But after that, I think my boss sort of just when she makes their Google account, she'll just copy an existing kid in that group and just fill out in the information and then make sure the home directory is right and then hit OK. And that's how she kind of does like the one or two. But it would be not. And, you know, I want to do the automation stuff. I am just so scared of it failing because I don't want to. I want to know.
Hit clear cache and simulate sync probably 300 times yesterday.
Well, my whole thing is it's like, how is it going to handle if there's a kid that already has that username? What is it going to do? I mean, even just like running like
Active. It doesn't create it. It just puts it in a fail log.
I mean, just like even doing like your Active Directory auto create. I mean, automation or whatever. It's like the people that do that. It's like I would love to. I am just so scared of failures. I just because
you have to write in contingency for it.
Because it's like you're going to have to go check something to see what didn't create it. And so you'll spend, I'm worried about if I have to do that, will I spend just as much time as it would for me to right click, copy a user and then whip it up real quick and then it's done.
Well, how I'm going to take the approach, if I can even get the record, if not, I'm not going to do it because there's no point. But because I have all my formulas and now to pull out the student information, how it should be from Texas. So I'll look, I'll have their first name, last name, I'll have their grade, and I'll have their ID.
Which you'll have it in all caps though, right?
Which is easy to change. You can just tell it to format in proper, and it'll capitalize just the first.
Love it.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Everything's in caps.
Why did they do that?
Why is our student information screaming kids' names at us?
I'm not happy. Quit screaming at me. But so what I'm going to do first is I'm going to look and see if that user exists. See if they exist in that grade. And if they do, I'm going to have to assume that that was the previous person that was here. Because I'm also in the process of adding all the student IDs into the directory as well.
Like a field, like a pager field or something?
Yeah. I mean, you can add your own schemas in there if you want. Or you could have a student ID schema you can check in there. Which I know you don't like changing schemas.
Yeah, I'm
either.
Scared to death of changing schemas. You know, I guess I don't want to break anything that's like, it goes back to those things. It's like, you know, that small part of me during Hurricane Harvey just wished it all just got wiped all out so I could just start it off fresh. and then I wouldn't have to worry about failures, but that would have been a lot of work.
But that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to check for first name, last name, check for the grade and the student ID. And if all that's not there anywhere, then I'll create it. But if it sees a collision anywhere, well, then I'm going to take the middle name.
Okay.
And I'll put in.
What about, we'll just stay on this topic of account automation here. What about one of those services like Clever? Are you thinking about looking into those?
I did the other school, and I just didn't like it.
I mean, how does that even work? And it's like, I just don't understand.
Most of the stuff was very hard-coded. Within the back end, because not much supported single sign-on and SAML and those things. So it was like services would go, all right, well, if you give me an automated import here, we can make it work. So it was a lot of one-off stuff.
I got
you. It wasn't the clear, easy solution that they claim it is.
Yeah, because I just don't understand. It's like, well, we can sync your Google accounts to iStation. Well, it's like, how is that possible? Because then you know iStation doesn't have anything that you can do that with.
You're right.
Even their building in Dallas is hideous. I mean, it's so bad.
It's a good product. I really will admit it is a good product, but it could use some.
It could use some love.
Tools.
I mean, considering it's been on version 2 of the installer since like 10 years, it seems like. But it's like I just don't understand how services like that can reach out to all these other things and like create those accounts for you, like it says.
Well, they're getting that same report that we get.
And so basically,
and that's what they're working off of.
Basically, they're just automating the iStation import for you. That's really all they're doing.
Exactly. That's all they're doing.
Oh.
Now, I could do that with, like I said, I could pull that. So honestly, the only piece that I couldn't automate would be printing their name badges. because I could automatically add them into Raptor. I can automatically add them into Edmentium. I can automatically add them into, I don't even remember what it is now, the other one that we have here. I could automatically add them into Kurzweil.
And see, and that's the thing. Why doesn't Raptor, an online system, just use Google logins?
Well, because
wouldn't that just make sense?
Well, you're not actually creating logins for the students. We use it for the tardies also.
Yeah, well, we do too.
So you have to create those students in there. And you know what really aggravates me about Raptor?
Well, why can't it just
you
pull from the directory?
You can't promote students.
Why can't you just... Oh, yeah, I know, because you got to, like, clear them all
you
out.
You have to delete them all and add them up.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, why don't just pull from the directory? I mean, just... I mean, you're a cloud-based service. I mean, but why can't you just, like, link it to the... Even if it doesn't make it, even if it made accounts, who cares? Just don't give them the login ability. But I mean,
they do provide you a location where you can upload once a day to have it automatically create them in Raptor, and that's what I'll end up doing is I'll just have that automated once a day.
Yeah, just like use your little wget file or whatever to put it where Raptor
yeah,
can get
considering
it.
Considering it's just using an FTP, I mean,
yeah. You just put it in a folder, and then Raptor FTPs it and call it a day. But
exactly. So, I mean, I should have most everything automated because this was a huge hurdle getting over this week. So I should be able to automate everything else but student badges and door keys.
I really ought to look into automating, like, user accounts. But, you know, the way we do our password policy, I don't think it would work like... It would. I think it would end up being more work for me to sync everything than it would be because of the way we do our password policy for students, I think.
Well, and that's the one thing I do not have is password synchronization set up in the directory yet because I don't know if they want it.
Yeah. I mean, some people – I mean, I don't think anybody should have it because I think everybody needs separate passwords for every service.
And I absolutely loved it. Because
reset the password in one place.
Yeah, they said. I mean, and yes, it's the same password in two places, but it's still just the school.
Yeah, but it's like, but yeah, I think I'm so hardcore when it comes to that stuff. It's like you need to have separate accounts for everything. It's probably the reason. why I haven't automated anything.
So you don't like single sign-on then?
I mean, single. You know.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Personally, no, I don't. And here,
conveniently, yes.
It's very convenient. It's like when I hit a service and it's like, hey, sign up. You can use your Twitter account or your Google account or you can sign up with email. I'm going to sign up with email every single time. I don't want to do that. I don't want to link those things together. I don't want to use Twitter to sign in with anything. I don't want to use Google to sign in. Well, I had to use Google to sign in to Feedly for my RSS stuff.
I use Google to sign in for a lot, but there's some things that I do use my Microsoft sign in. There's some things I use my Google sign in.
I just I don't want to do that.
Like Wunderlist is not using Google.
Yeah, Wunderlist. once you get going on that, just squirrel topic here. Once you get all that. Start rolling with that a little bit more. We need to talk about that to see how you're liking that. You're using Wunderlist for your project management now. So, I mean, essentially
yeah,
what I'm doing
with
things.
I went the Microsoft project rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And if I had more than me, it would make a lot more sense. But.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm not a fan of like linking accounts. Like, because like I said, I think everything should have separate passwords and separate accounts for everything. I get the convenience of it. I really do. But things are making it too easy to not have to do single sign-on. I mean, because I know Edge probably has the password saving capabilities. Google Chrome does it. I use the iCloud keychain. I've used 1Password in the past. There's Dashlane. There's LastPass. There's all these different services where you can kind of keep up with 1Password and you can still have access to all of your stuff. And they autofill everything for you from the browser's extensions. And so
now, I do have an alternative argument for you, though.
Well,
one could argue that signing on as Google would be more secure.
I mean, and I get that, and I understand that, and even then, it's like
who could do 2FA,
and it's like who is 1Password? Who are they that you trust to keep up with all of your passwords? Who is iCloud? Who is Google? Mm-hmm. Who is LastPass or whatever? Who do we trust them enough? I mean. well, you can set up one password to sync to Dropbox. Okay, well, who's Dropbox to you would trust to hold your things? I mean, so you've always got that, and so you're basically trusting their encryption. And so, but the same really could be said with the single sign-on stuff. I mean, who's to say Google's not going to send that information that you're logging into that service and using that to feed ads to you? I mean...
Yeah, this is true. I mean, and they do know who you're using and whatnot, but my devil's advocate argument for it is, well, you can sign on to all these other services, but you're not creating accounts there. So if they have a security issue, there's not one of your accounts leaked. It's Google doesn't actually give them your security information. The only thing they're doing is sharing your email, your name. So the security stuff is actually handled by Google, and they use SAML to send them a cryptographic key that, yeah, you're good here. And with Google, you can just enable 2FA. So everything you do sign on with Google would be two-factor.
Yeah. I did two-factor for a while, and then...
It's annoying.
It is. And so I've kind of gone the route of... I let Safari generate passwords for me, and they're ridiculous. I mean, they are ridiculous.
Oh, my. They added that to Google, and they're like, we've got a password suggested for you. I'm like, no.
And I accept it because I know that it's going to stay in the iCloud keychain library. I can go pull it out on my phone from the settings. I can pull it from my browser, from the preferences if I need it. And so, I'm like, and so that's kind of my approach to security.
I platform hop too much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of bought into the whole thing. But at least with Google Chrome, though, you can actually export your all of your passwords as a CSV file.
You can, so, which is stupid, but
yeah,
let's export them in clear text.
So, I mean,
but,
yeah.
Oh, dude. But yeah, this was my waterfall part this week. Things are moving now. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm not nearly as depressed now.
Well, that's good.
And my office is clean.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. You kind of inspired me, and my mind's getting a little out of hand, so I took a few minutes today and kind of cleared mine out. Got some Chromebooks that I had fixed, got them out of here, off the shelf. Got some that I got to mail off, boxed up, ready to go, and then I got a little pile that needs to go to our salvage stuff. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, and then... but yeah, it's always nice to have a clean work area. I mean, the main thing was I just cleaned off my desk again, just getting all the papers, all the packing slips piled up, ready for the people that I have to turn those into.
Oh goodness, I have a box in the corner right now that says shred. That is, I don't know if I can pick it up anymore.
I mean, I don't care about any of this stuff. I don't care about packing slips because. You can see online that it was delivered, but I understand that when you're dealing
state
with
state records,
when you're dealing with that and budgets and everything. I mean, I'm to the point now. All right, here we go. Here's our Matt shares what personally happens at his house thing. If there is a paperless option, that's what I go with. Do not send me anything paper. In fact, I went through and I kept every bill that we got mailed. And I had a little pile, and after the 2 months, I gave it 2 months. I probably could only do it with one, but I kind of started in the middle of the month, so I wanted to make sure that I did at least one complete month. So I looked at this pile, and I was like, okay, let me log into this site, sign up for paperless. Let me log into this site, sign up for paperless. And then I took my entire file cabinet, all these bill stuff, and I put them in a bag. And I took them down to the credit union that was having a shred it and forget it day.
Nice.
And just got rid of it all because I was like, now back, you used to have to keep all this stuff for like income tax purposes. And it's like, they wanted you to keep all this information for like 7 years. It's like, well, I pay it online. I can pull all my statements mm-hmm. online.
They keep it that long.
I mean, and it's like, it shows when I paid. I mean, I can't tell you the last, I don't even use a checkbook register.
I don't write any checks.
I mean, it's to the point. It's like I don't want any paper. I mean, we write a check to the church every month, and that's the check and the church and the water bill, because apparently I can't pay my water bill online.
I got one of those same things. I pay our water bill every 6 months, and I put like this stupid amount in there, so I have a negative balance for forever.
But but yeah, and so it's like so I write those two checks every month, and it's like, and then whatever T-shirt I'm. Amanda buys from whatever organization is selling a T-shirt. We write those checks, and then I think I have to give the cafeteria check whenever I need money on my account because I am not paying an extra $1.50 to use the credit card online. I refuse to pay their processing fee.
Dude, when I did that, I just paid $100 at a time, so it was irrelevant.
Yeah. But it's like, I just don't want any paper. And so it's like, I got all these packing slips on my desk, and it's like, if this was my house, I wouldn't have these. I would just throw them straight into the trash. But no, got to keep all this stuff.
You remember what I said our system was here at this school.
Yeah, the paper. Legit paper. I mean, not even online anymore. Paper. No. And just like, and being able to use
5-part carbon paper.
And being able to use the actual system online would actually help you eliminate that problem. Except for the fact that you have to print the PO to staple it to the packing slip to keep it in a file and turn it in.
You know, I never did that in Buna. We had moved to paperless. And in fact, I had taught them how to use PDF Merge.
Mm-hmm.
To add the packing slip into the PDF, so it was all, each order was all one PDF.
That would be great.
It worked really well.
No more paper.
So I'm thinking next week, I'm not going to do it this week. I'm going to try to figure a way to get rid of these papers.
And then rename your domain, right? No, I'm kidding.
I am going to do that here. I really am.
And almost,
I just got to get everything 100% work in order because I found that magical, mysterious DFS name that's hanging out in the domain that doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah. And I'm going to see how yours goes, and then I'll try mine. So
it works. I've done it in the lab twice now.
So
But I have not moved to certificate authority yet because there's not even one here.
Yeah, and so you won't have to worry about that. It's just like maybe I'll wait till
you can test that.
Maybe I'll wait till I migrate to 2019 and I just can the other one and just stand up a new one.
Well, I'll throw a lab together and I'll do one with a certificate authority in there just so I can see the process for that. But it really was not scary at all. I was amazed at how well it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious because I'd like to buy certificates for things.
Well, and I've actually already started using that domain name that I'm going to move to. Our web filter is webfilter.land.evadelk12.net.
Now,
so I mean,
I'm
using it.
Let me tell you about those NetSpecta things. When I went and installed Nederlands, Nederland ran their Nederland.k12.tx.us domain.
Oh gosh.
The whatever it is that shows the logins to the filter. You might have to, there's like a setting where you'd like write the domain name, I think, in there.
It's actually using the NetBIOS on mine.
Yeah, that's what you...
It's just showing Evadale.
Well, the one that I did for Nederland, I ended up having to put like tx.us in there because it only likes so many subdomains, I think. And okay.
Theirs is a little... Yes, that one's free. Don't use it.
Yeah, but I mean, that might be something you just need to... When you switch to the actual domain and that's where the users come from, it might be something you want to look at. But
it's using the NetBIOS name now, and I'm not going to change that piece.
Well, dude,
I'm going to leave the NetBIOS piece Evadale.
I don't understand the old NetBIOS name. It's like,
it's for the old NetBIOS protocol.
It works whenever I want to like sign in. I can do Ornfield/Emlinear or whatever. But like when I join a computer to the domain, that used to work. Just put in Ornfield as the domain and then.
Sometimes it does now.
Yeah, it's like, it has never worked for me. I always have to do Ornfield.local.
It's broadcast based as well.
So I just give up on it and just do Ornfield.local for everything, really.
And actually put a dot on the end of mine when I do it too, so it goes all the way back just to make sure.
Yeah. So, but
I am going to move it and we will see how that goes. And you know what? I think I should do it on live stream. So if it goes catastrophically wrong, everybody can see me.
Panic.
Scream and cry.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's our show this week. Episode 51, educatingtech.net/51 for links and show notes, which I don't think there'll be too many links, maybe just a couple to the Google stuff to download the directory sync. But yeah, you can hit our links and show notes there. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, we are at Educating Tech. Chris is at Feeks and I am at Twist of Matt. Those links will also be in the show notes. You can send us an email for feedback at educatingtech@gmail.com. Don't forget the Office 2019 deployment tool is, I used that, by the way, really good. Liked it.
It works.
Yeah, worked great. It's still online for our Patreon subscribers. To get a hold of that, you can go to patreon.com/educatingtech. And give us all your money, and then you'll have access to that tool We don't take checks, though.
No checks.
No checks. And so grab a hold of that. That's just the first of, I think, a few things that we'll put up there. And you know, you never know. Eventually, that'll probably be available for everybody, too. So
it will be.
If you just want to be cheap and not give us any cash, that's fine, too. Hey,
before we go, next week is the 1 year mark.
Yeah, next week is
in podcast terms.
Yeah, and next week will be our 52nd show, so that if we were consistent and didn't have a hurricane and some other things come up, it would have been like a year of shows. So that's good. I mean, you'd almost think we know what we're doing here.
No, we're still faking.
Hey, I'm just impressed that you haven't changed anything with your audio for at least 3 weeks in a row now. So I'm kind of glad about that.
It does work. We'll see what we do next week. I may switch everything over.
Maybe you'll buy a pop filter. I don't know.
I might do that. Or I could go back to recording on my Note.
No, let's not do that.
You said the sound was great.
It was great. But then you bought a real good microphone and it sounds great now. And Matt learned how to, use a compressor in Logic, so he's very happy about that.
Yeah, that works out really well.
But that's it. So I'll see you later, Chris.
See you later, Matt.